Listen now to the reading of the scripture this morning from Luke chapter 4. We begin at verse 38. After leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her. Then he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately she got up and began to serve them. As the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on each of them and cured them. Demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Messiah. At daybreak, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowds were looking for him. And when they reached him, they wanted to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he continued proclaiming the message in the synagogues of Judea. And then we turn a few chapters ahead to chapter 9, and we read the first 6 verses. Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. He said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." They departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. The word of the Lord. Suppose you have a stomachache that doesn't go away, or a headache, or a numbness in your arm. Maybe you're having trouble sleeping at night. Would you, A, go to the pharmacy and get some over-the-counter medication? B, do you make an appointment with your doctor? C, do you try to ignore the problem and hope it goes away? Or D, do you call the elders and ask them to pray over you? How many of you would probably try that over-the-counter medication? How many of you would call your doctor? I'm bad about doing that, although I did go last week. How many of you would probably try to do nothing and hope it goes away? Oh, that's the majority. How many of you would call someone to pray with you? Good. How we treat our illnesses is a hot topic today. The cost of health care has skyrocketed. A lot of people don't have medical insurance. People postpone visiting a doctor because of the cost. Too many end up in a hospital emergency room, which probably usually isn't the best way to treat an illness and is certainly not the most cost-effective. The American Journal of Medicine reports that almost 2/3 of all bankruptcies are the result of illness and medical debt. People are unable to afford good medical care. Now, as you know, our Congress decided to do something about the problem by passing an Affordable Care Act, referred to as Obamacare. But not everyone is happy. Right now, there are some congressmen who are working to defund it. They fear it spells the rise of big government, higher taxes, and the loss of individual freedom. Some, on the other hand, believe it's a good step. But we are not here this morning to debate our broken health care system, but rather to consider healing as it relates to the ministry of the church. The Gospels tell us that much of Jesus' ministry involved healing the sick and casting out demons. Our first reading today from Luke chapter 4 is just one of many passages in the Gospel where Jesus heals. When Jesus proclaimed the coming of the kingdom of God, he didn't just do it with words, but with a demonstration of God's power by restoring sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, cleansing lepers, giving strength to the lame to walk, casting out demons, and even raising the dead. In the second reading from Luke chapter 9, we learn that Jesus extended his ministry of healing through the disciples who were sent out, given power and authority to bring good news and cure all kinds of diseases. The book of Acts records how the apostles continued this ministry of healing in the early church. And the epistles are filled with accounts of these miracles of healing. In the letter of James, we have this liturgy for healing, which we will use today. Are any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Now, many mainstream Christians today believe that these miracles of healing performed by Jesus and the apostles in the early church were limited to the time in which they lived, way back in the first century. But for us, the time for miracles is over, and we should not expect these kinds of things to happen in the church today. Many of us probably hold a skepticism about, you know, so-called faith healers. We're turned off by those screaming evangelists and snake handlers and others who have claimed the power to perform miracles. Often it seems for personal gain and notoriety. And maybe that's why there was a healthy skepticism when we, in our consistory, among the elders, first began to talk about having this healing service. Should we really be doing this? Well, maybe a first step would be for us to just talk about what healing in the Christian sense is not. First of all, I believe that all the ministry of healing is not reserved for those who claim to have a special gift to perform miracles. Healing is a ministry of the whole church. When someone is sick, we say, I will be praying for you. What do we mean when we say that? Are we expecting some instantaneous, dramatic healing? Sometimes we might wish for that. But prayer is, first of all, an acknowledgement of God's love and care for us. God is already at work in our lives. And when we pray for ourselves and others, we're seeking God's will, which is health and wholeness. God's will for us is always good. Prayer is a way to open ourselves to the ways in which God is at work in our lives. Because sometimes we block the way for God to heal us. Prayer opens the way. Secondly, healing is not just a matter of healing us physically. Healing in the Christian sense involves our whole being, our bodies, our minds, our emotions, our spirits. Biblically, there is a close connection between healing and salvation. We might think of healing more as pertaining to our physical body, and salvation more as pertaining to our spiritual being, as saving our soul. But healing can just as well be applied to both physical and spiritual. Forgiveness and healing often go hand in hand. The English word salve is closely related to the word salvation. Thus we have that expression in Jeremiah, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" This is Jeremiah's prayer that the people be cured of their sin. Our mental and emotional and spiritual condition affects our physical health. Fear and anxiety can cause high blood pressure. Holding on to anger or an unwillingness to forgive can take its toll on our physical being. Our bodies and minds and hearts and spirits are not separate. Healing involves our whole being. Third, healing in the Christian sense is usually not something that is dramatic, instantaneous, or complete. Take the story we heard this morning of Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. Now, Luke makes it sound somewhat dramatic. It says that Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, just like he rebuked those with demons. But if we compare Mark's version of this story, Jesus simply walks over to her bed, takes her by the hand, and helps her up. She didn't have a demon or cancer or other serious illness. She simply had a fever, and Jesus helps her up. You and I may do as much when we care for someone who is sick. Think back over your own life when someone helped you when you were sick. Maybe you went to the doctor or not. But maybe someone came to you with giving you a helping hand and lifting you up. Maybe they brought you a meal to help you regain your strength. Maybe you needed a hug. Whatever it was probably something pretty simple. Well, that is a form of healing that we can all participate in. I remember once visiting an elderly parishioner in the hospital. As I approached her room, I could hear her calling out for help. I went into her room and asked what was wrong. She said she needed a nurse. Well, in a few minutes, a nurse came in and asked what she needed. She replied in tears, "I don't know." The nurse kindly gave her a drink of water, which she gladly accepted. But before leaving, the nurse asked again if there was something else she needed. And she said, "Just someone to stay with me for a little while." Well, the nurse had other duties to do, and so I stayed. We didn't talk very much. She asked that I read the 23rd Psalm. I took her hand, and we prayed. It wasn't much. It could hardly have been called a miracle of healing. In fact, if I remember correctly, she did not recover. She stayed there in the hospital for some time and then passed away. It's been said that death is God's final act of healing. We are made new. But do you see that just being with someone or touching someone in their time of need can be an act of healing? I was reading an article recently about doctors who rarely touch their patients anymore. They're looking at a computer screen while the patient sits alone on the examining table. Machines have replaced the healing touch. In this age of modern medicine, we probably do put more trust in surgery and medications and medical procedures than in prayer. I sense that prayer is sometimes viewed as a kind of a last resort. When all the other options fail, then we pray. But I don't think we need to separate the skills of physicians and all the advances of modern medicine, which, from my view, often seem miraculous, from the ministry of prayer. God uses all sorts of means to bring wholeness and healing to us. A simple touch, or a very sophisticated kind of medical procedure. It's all part of God's way of healing us. The other thing that amazes me, which I try to bring out in the children's message today, is how wonderfully our bodies have been made to heal. I was thinking themselves, but that's not quite true. God made our bodies as they are. We suffer all kinds of injuries, we break bones, we may be left with scars, but our bodies heal. That is the way that God made us. God is both creator and healer. On our bike tour this summer, one of the cyclists in the very first week had a fall and broke her leg. She returned to our group a few days later working as a volunteer, assisting as she could with the splint on her leg. But amazingly, in the last 2 weeks of the tour, she was back riding her bicycle with us. Of course, we're still very fragile and vulnerable creatures. Not all injuries are healed so quickly. Not all diseases are cured so easily. Not all of our prayers are answered in the ways that we ask. And even when healing comes, it is not permanent. We get old. We die. This is the way that God has set it up. William Willimon, a contemporary preacher, tells a story that illustrates that it is God who is in control. There was a pastor who was fairly new in the ministry, and he was calling on one of his parishioners in the hospital who was very ill, who seemed near death. And so this pastor tried to bring some comfort and peace to this person whose condition, it seemed, could only get worse. Sensing that death was near, the pastor decided that he shouldn't be praying for her healing, but instead be praying that she be ready to be received back into the hands of God. Well, before the pastor began to pray with her, in her weak voice, this parishioner expressed her hope that she would be healed. It wasn't in her mind to go to her heavenly home just yet, but to return to her earthly home. Well, the pastor didn't quite know what to do. Should he pray for her peaceful passing to be with God? Or should he pray as she asked to be healed, the prospect of which seemed very remote? Well, as the story goes, the pastor prayed a very ambivalent prayer, adding to each phrase, "Lord, may your will be done," which is always a safe way to pray. The pastor was about to leave the room when the woman seemed to perk up. She raised herself up in her bed and she dangled her feet at the side of the bed And then, amazingly, she stood up and took a few steps and finally walked out into the hallway and raised her arms, giving thanks to God. When those at the nursing station saw this, they could hardly believe their eyes. She was walking. Well, the bewildered pastor finally left and went to his car in the parking lot, and he looked up and said, "God, don't you ever do that to me again." I think the story illustrates how we tend to err on the side of doubt. No, we're not here to claim that we have the power to heal. Only God has that power. But we can remove the obstacles that stand in the way of God to give us life. Sometimes we are not healed in the way that we desire. Even the Apostle Paul admitted that for whatever reason, God did not remove from him a thorn in the flesh, as he called it. Sometimes, even in our weakness, God has a purpose to bring us closer to him. In a few moments in our time of prayer, we're going to follow the instruction of James in the Bible, inviting those of you who wish to just share in confidence with an elder your prayer desire. And at the same time, we ask that each of you, in your own way, pray that the healing touch of Jesus will rest upon those who look to him for renewed health and strength. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.